1350 KMAN.
Good morning, Manhattan. I'm Nick McNamara. Thanks for listening to In Focus. My second day on the air. They haven't canned me yet. I'm doing all right, I think. Of course.
So far. You know, the day's young.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Dave could come over here and just take that mic away from me.
You know, I doubt that because I've got, like, other things to do.
Yeah. You're a busy guy.
You know, we all are.
Yeah.
You know, you're running a shorthanded news department right now. Thank you. And Nick's going to be handling much of the InFocus duties here on an interim basis.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
Enjoy it.
And we have a great great show here for you today. We have Sunflower Casa Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell here with us.
Good morning.
And coming up also, we have some teachers from Lee Elementary talking about their 66th annual chicken barbecue. And then we're going to have Representative Sydney Carlin in. So Stacy, tell me a little bit about Sunflower Casa.
Sunflower Casa has been in our community for 30 years. Probably the most notorious program is our CASA Core Services, where we train volunteers such as yourself from the community that have an interest in advocating for children who are involved in the court system. And it's due to no fault of their own. They've been abused and neglected. We bring in community members that want to serve and want to help children. And we train them for 30 hours, and they come alongside these children, and they really become their person, and they, you know, advocate for needs. They're there for them during a very kind of traumatic time period of their lives, and they really just, they're there, their person. We also have two additional programs through our agency that probably aren't as well known. We have Stepping Stones Child Advocacy Center, where we provide forensic interviews for children who've been sexually abused. We have a multidisciplinary team that responds to situations such as that, and that program's been around for 10 years. Prior to existence, children would disclose and they'd have to talk to multiple entities reliving their trauma over and over. With our advocacy center, they come in once, they meet with our forensic interviewer, we've got that multidisciplinary team gathered. And then once that's over, we start working with the family on the process of healing, which is huge.
That is huge. It's often overlooked how much, you know, having to repeat those traumas can really slow down the progress to move on from these traumas.
It really can. And, you know, when you're having to talk to multiple entities over and over about the most horrific event that's occurred in your life, it's traumatizing. And so having a child advocacy center where they come in and they share what's happened to them, and then we start working with professionals that are trained to help them get on the healing track, and then we provide victim advocacy that kind of walks through them with that court system, which can be incredibly overwhelming.
And you mentioned a volunteer training, a 30-day program, right?
It's 30 hours.
30 hours,
we have a fall training for volunteers from the community coming up. It starts on September 25th. It runs every Tuesday, with the exception of the holidays that fall in there, until November 13th. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 in the evenings. We will provide you with training so that you feel equipped to go out there and advocate for the best interest of that child.
And what's kind of involved in that training program?
Oh, we talk about all sorts of things, dynamics that are involved with the family, cultural competency, even just how to write a court report so that you come in there knowing what's expected of you so that you're able to successfully advocate for that child. It's 30 hours. It's pretty intensive. We're always looking for males to step up and volunteer. I think that's kind of a national trend where we're needing to have males come alongside youth, young males that are involved in the child in need of care system as well. We currently have 71 volunteers. I'd love to see us get to where we have over 100. This year alone, we've served 125 children through this program. And that number just baffles me. Last year, we served 121. It wouldn't surprise me to see us serve 140 this year.
Speaking with Sunflower CASA Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell here. Phone lines are open if you have any questions, comments, concerns, 785-537-1350. Now, you mentioned cultural competency as part of the training components there. Could you tell me a little bit about that, how that plays out?
How that plays out? Absolutely. So, you know, we're advocating from children who come from all sorts of different environments. And we want to make sure that you're equipped to handle that in a sensitive manner that takes that into account. Very much so. So again, we want to provide you with the tools that you need so that you can be a successful volunteer. And then also so you can have that successful relationship with the child, because, you know, being a CASA is all about that supportive relationship. Having that one person that's consistently there during a very kind of tumultuous time of your life is huge. You know, they are most often placed in foster care, and so they're removed from the home that's familiar to them. They're most likely not in the same school district. Kansas has a crisis of foster care right now. We have close to 7,700 children across the state that are placed in foster care, and we have roughly 2,500 homes. And so children are not getting placed where they would be familiar, and so they're not even, you know, sometimes placed with their siblings. And so our CASA volunteers have that unique opportunity to be that person that's consistently there, that's listening to them, that's building that trusting relationship. I've seen some really neat things where our CASAs have been able to be that person that's out there at that sporting event that's rooting them on when there's no one else that's a familiar face out in the audience. It's huge.
And would they generally, say the children get moved around to a different community, would they follow along with them and keep track of them, or is that more, or do they just stay local?
Absolutely. We'd love for them to try and be able to stay with where their placements are. We do ask for a year-long commitment. We're currently seeing that children in our area are having an open case for around 11 months, and so we ask for that commitment of that year, because, of course, we want you to be that person that's consistent with them. You know, they've got case managers, there's attorneys, there's people working with the parents. And this is really the role that is just there for that child, just to make sure that they get their needs met. It's actually what brought me to this agency. I used to volunteer as a CASA going on close to 20 years ago, and it's just very near and dear to my heart.
That's fantastic. This is speaking with the Sunflower CASA Project Executive Director, Stacy Tidwell. And you mentioned you're looking for male volunteers. Are they typically kind of gender, differentiated, I guess would be a good way to put that?
We do have unique situations that come in where we've identified that it would be most appropriate to have a male work with that child, whether it's an older adolescent, or maybe they have some behaviors where it just seems more appropriate to have a male role model get involved. And predominantly, our volunteers are female, though.
Okay. And I guess we could maybe get a little bit of background. Talk a little bit about how you mentioned that you first got involved as a CASA. Could you tell how that happened, how that progressed?
Absolutely. I was a student at K-State here in Manhattan. I didn't stray very far, a social work student, and I was looking for volunteer opportunities to get involved in the community, and saw probably some type of flyer, some type of advertisement about an upcoming CASA training course, signed up and became a certified CASA. I was appointed to a young lady who was in the foster care system whose mom had completely abandoned her. She had been left to fend for herself for over 30 days, and it came to authorities' attention. And this young lady ended up transitioning out of foster care into adulthood. So she didn't end up getting reintegrated or adopted or have a guardianship occur. And she literally aged out of the foster care system into adulthood on her own, which is just a tremendously overwhelming experience, adulthood on its own, let alone adulthood without the supports of a family in place. And it really impacted the trajectory of my social work career. I went in to work with youth that transitioned out of foster care, and I spent several years in administration working with the program that's put in place to try and help youth that transition out of foster care into adulthood be as successful and productive as they can be.
And I imagine you see a ton of stories like that and success stories all throughout the program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I just was talking to a fellow social worker who had ran into someone that she hadn't seen for close to 20 years and looks quite a bit different after 20 years, and the youth that she had been working with came up to her and said, thank you. I want to tell you thank you for being so kind to me.
That's fantastic. Talking here with Sunflower CASA Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell. And you mentioned the Stepping Stones program. Are there any other programs you have going on that you would like to talk about?
We do. We have a third program called Sunflower Bridge Child Exchange and Visitation Center. We provide supervised visits for cases where there's maybe domestic violence or protection from abuse orders so that a child can have a safe visit with their non-residential parent or have a safe exchange. That program's been in existence for 18 years. Prior to existence, you would see children getting exchanged in front of the police department or maybe in front of McDonald's. Very less than ideal experiences to have a visit with a parent. And so we have trained security guards on site where they have a background in law enforcement or community corrections. And then we also have trained observers on site. Most often, they're bachelor's degree carrying with like social work or social work related fields that are there to ensure that that visit occurs in a healthy manner. It's in a child-friendly environment. And the visit's focused on the quality of that relationship with the non-residential parent, which is huge because it shows when students have or when children have positive contact with that non-residential parent, they're more likely to have a supportive relationship down the road. They're more likely to financially support that child as well.
I imagine that has a huge impact on the overall like health and well-being of that child too.
Absolutely. Having that contact and not having to wonder where you've come from or about your roots, I mean, that's huge. And having it occur in a healthy manner that's not threatening towards the child or threatening towards the other parent is very important.
And I understand that there's some fundraisers coming up and other events.
We do. We have a new fundraiser that I'm super excited to talk about. It's called Men Making a Difference. It'll run between October 1st and October 31st is kind of the window. We are currently seeking nominations for community child champions, males in particular, that are outstanding citizens, good role models, that want to take a stand to end child abuse, to end domestic violence. And those nominations will go through our board. We'll select community members. Each individual will raise $1,000 or have a goal of raising $1,000, and it's entirely up to them how they choose to raise that money. All the proceeds will go towards supporting abused and neglected children. We're very excited. So if you've got ideas and you want to contact us, please feel free to give us a call, 785-537-6367. Let us know, because we are looking for those champions out there that really, again, want to see domestic violence, want to see child abuse come to an end, and are really outstanding citizens. It's a huge honor to have that nomination to start with. We're really excited. I think it has lots of unique opportunities for how you want to do that. If you're a business owner, you could do raffle tickets, or if you provide a direct service, it could be something that's done through a direct service. I'm aware of a community member who has, a wife who's a baker, and so they're going to have a lot of bake sales to kind of facilitate that. So please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear who you think really is that outstanding male out there in the community that wants to speak up and say, hey, this is not okay. I want to see child abuse end. I want to see domestic violence end.
Talking here with Sunflower CASA Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell. And if there's anyone who wants to get involved in any of these programs or volunteering opportunities or even some of the fundraisers, other than you mentioned the phone number, and where else can they contact you?
They can also email me. It's stidwell@rileycountyks.gov. They're also welcome to go onto our website and put in their contact information. Any one of those entities is perfect. We would love to see, this next volunteer class be filled with volunteers, and I would love to see half of them be male so that we can meet the needs of the children that are coming up.
All right.
Stacy, I have a quick question for you, and this is the other day one of your staff members,
Jennifer
was at the Little Apple Optimist meeting.
Yep.
that I attended, and she talked about a lot of different things, and this type of volunteer effort is very challenging, but it's also, from what I've gathered from other people that I have known that have been CASA volunteers, that have been advocates, it's extremely rewarding because the level of help that you can provide a youngster is something that's tantamount to the success that individual may have for the rest of his or her life.
Absolutely. The biggest impact you can have is that relationship. That supportive person is the key between someone being successful and not being successful. So having that go-to person for when you're having a bad day. You know, one of our CASA kids called the office trying to get a hold of their CASA because she had gone out with her to get her nails done for the first time, and she just called to tell her advocate, hey, I want to let you know I painted my nails purple, because she was her person, which is huge.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've seen, heard from people is that, you know, the how it changes their lives.
Absolutely. It was life-changing for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan to necessarily spend the last 20 years in child welfare, and having that young lady that I had that relationship with, that I got to see graduate high school, that I got to see go on and get married and have two children, has been phenomenal. I mean, they're just not words that you can put into that satisfaction.
And there's another side of this is the amount of support that it gets in the judicial system, whether it be from the county attorney's office and also from the judges.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's really, I mean, when you get that kind of support, that shows how important this program is to a community.
We are really lucky to live in the community that we do, to be so supported by our local district courts, and then also by our county attorney's office, and by even our Riley County Police Department. Having those relationships has been phenomenal for us, so that we can continue to provide the service that we do, so that we can continue to have, you know, children out there that know someone's out there rooting for them and wants to see them be successful.
That's fantastic. Sunflower CASA Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell, any final thoughts?
Let me know. Like I said, we need volunteers. We absolutely would love to have your support in whatever capacity you'd like to provide it. We have all sorts of different needs. We've got the holidays coming up, and we always try and identify our CASA kids and our CASA families that might need a little bit of extra support. So again, please feel free to reach out to us on the website, 785-537-6367, or you're welcome to email me, stidwell@rileycountyks.gov. I'd love to hear from you. You know, Riley County is a phenomenal area to work in. It's a very supportive community. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in. All right. Coming up next, we'll be talking to some teachers from Lee Elementary about the 66th annual Lee Chicken Barbecue. Stay tuned right here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.